Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our third session on believing. And as we start, why don't we just give you a grace story right to begin with? And this is from a lady, Sandra. And so I love her story. It's just so simple, but it's extremely profound in that God wants to be involved in everything we do. It says, "Hello, Jim. I have not only been enjoying Adventures in Grace on YouTube each Tuesday and Friday, but I've also been listening to each of the radio programs that you and BJ recorded." Now, BJ was my accomplice in crime. He was my rancher friend. He went on to be with the Lord last year. But what times we had on the Abiding Presence radio show. And you can go to jimhockaday.com and find on radio show 266 downloadable archives. And it's all this wonderful teaching that I'm doing right now on Adventures in Grace. It went on to say, "What a blessing it all is, so insightful and beneficial in helping me get where I want and need to be in my relationship with Jesus. I have what I consider small grace stories all the time and forget to email you, but not today. My husband and I were grocery shopping and at the checkout when I realized that my debit card was not in my back pocket where I had put it. It was an opportunity to panic. But we held it together as I retraced my steps through the store. Not finding it in the store, we decided to look outside and in the vehicle. I was so thankful and relieved to find it just inside the door on the floor between the door and the passenger seat. I knew grace had kept me from dropping it on the ground outside the car or in the store where it could have been picked up and put right to use by anyone who found it. We were both thanking God for his grace. Also, my husband and I were talking this morning about grace that is available every minute of every day. He is 67 and I am 60. Neither of us are on any medication and we never go to doctors. We know it again is the grace of God at work in our lives." Well, you know, just the idea that they were talking about grace that you can receive at any minute of any day is grace. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, look at the many things that you can be inundated with every single day where you're so busy you forget God. Except maybe when you pray, or maybe when you lay down at sleep at night, or maybe a couple days goes by and you just like, "Oh gosh, I've been so busy." And look at this couple. They were taking time to discuss the things about grace, which means on purpose they went that direction when they could have been going the direction of the world to discuss everything about what is right in front of them in this earthly world, staring them in the face, trying to tell them that they can't make it, that the gas prices are too high. What are we going to do? How are we going to get past this month? What are we going to do about our physical body? Things aren't doing any better. It's getting worse. Do you see? God always will work with you, especially when you come to that place of confrontation where everything about this fleshly world is screaming at you and you're still willing to devalue the importance of the flesh and the world and turn your eyes. You know, the old song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Well, that's your opportunity to experience God. Remember, every step towards grace is a step that's not taken toward the flesh and the world. And of course, that flips itself right around as well. Every step that you take toward the flesh and the world is not a step toward grace, which means you're two steps away. It multiplies people. This is why people can go so fast and so far with the world, just like you snap your finger. But at the same time, the moment you acknowledge you've been going with the world, instantly grace brings you back to the starting point, and you can go so fast and so far with God by beginning to include him in everything you're doing and acknowledge him in all things. Wow, this is really, really good. So we're going to jump right in here and just read some wonderful things about the Lord. But before we do, we're going to jump over into Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30. I just get excited all the time about speaking this because it's such a wonderful passage. And it says, "Now Jesus began, resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son like the Father, nor the Father like the Son. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. What a wonderful passage. Let's jump into some of the reasons why what Jesus just invited us to have actually works. Well, as you know, I was, this is a great story all within itself. I was studying years ago and I put into my Bible program fasting and believe came up. Well, I did that two more times and very deliberately put in F-A-S-T-I-N-G, send, and believe came up. And finally I said, Lord, you're messing with my computer. Which of course he would do. He wanted me to see something in the word believe. And so this is what was in vines as I looked, and behold, it was exactly what I needed and really important for what we're talking about today. It says, considering something to be trustworthy is an act of full trusting or believing. This is emphasized in the first biblical occurrence of Abram. And this is over in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where, you know, Abram was asking the Lord things like, well, how do I know I'm going to inherit? And how do I, a child, and how do I know that I'm going to inherit all this land? And so God was beginning to speak to him. And one of the things that he asked him to do is go outside and look at the stars and see if you can number them. So shall your descendants be. And the Bible says Abraham went outside, looked up into the stars, and he believed in God. Well, it was very easy for him to do that because Abraham was a moon worshiper, which means night after night after night being out there on the prairie, he certainly was very aware of the stars. So when he went out there and saw the sky lit up with stars, that's what God was saying was what his lineage was going to be like. He was going to be the father of many nations and he was going to have a son. And just like that, he believed in the Lord. Now, this is what it says here about the word believe. This is the importance of it. The meaning here is that Abram was full of trust and confidence in God and that he did not fear him. It was not primarily in God's words that he believed, but in God himself. Nor does the text tell us that Abram believed God so as to accept what he said as true and trustworthy. That's really, really good. And we covered that the last session, just telling you that Abram didn't just look to what was said and said, oh, this is so amazing. I'm going to have a son, so I'm going to try to believe God. No, that's the cart before the horse. Abram had an experience with God that rocked his world, and he believed in God so that anything that was said was secondary to God and his experience with God. In other words, what was real to his soul was how real God is and the encounter he had. Wow, I just saw God. This is awesome. And then the idea that God said, you're going to have a son, and that God said, you're going to inherit this great land. At that point, all of what took place afterwards was something that actually had its root in what took place formerly, which is he experienced God. And it went on to say, but simply that he believed in God. In other words, and this is really, really good here, Abram came to experience a personal relationship to God rather than an impersonal relationship with his promises. You see the look on my face. Do you know where I'm going with this? Is it possible that the greatest majority of people that are struggling to get answers from God, answers to their prayers, it's because they have an impersonal relationship with the words of God and not a personal relationship with God himself? Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Listen, on this side of the covenant, all these things have already been given to you. If you'll just enjoy the presence of the Lord, why wouldn't all the things that are yours come out of that enjoyment? And you realize all of a sudden the tumor's no longer there. Your eyes are perfectly healed. Amen. In fact, I'm telling you right here, right now, that tumors are disappearing in the name of Jesus. I don't care if they're on the top of your head or the soles of your feet or somewhere in between. They are disappearing in the name of Jesus solely because you primarily have a relationship with God, and everything he said to let you know by his stripes you were healed. He took your infirmity and bore your sickness. The reason why that's so real to you is because God is so real to you. Hang out with him and watch what God has already done. Just become a part of being with him. Do you know when Jesus, being baptized in the River Jordan, looked at John and John said, I'm not even worthy, you know, to tie your shoes. And Jesus said, it is necessary that this happen, that all righteousness be fulfilled. What was he saying? I'm telling you, Jesus is the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is not only who Jesus is, but who you are. And the righteousness of God is the rightness of God. The ability from heaven in your soul to literally undo any unrighteousness and continue to keep you spotless and pure, spirit, soul, and body. Hanging out with Jesus, hanging out with the Father, who is righteousness. You don't think that the time you're hanging out with somebody that's so right that everything in your body, including a tumor, will just disappear, dissipate, become so small, and all of a sudden it's gone, and it's no longer there, and the pain's no longer there, and if it happened to be cancerous, the cancer was killed and it disappeared. If it happened to be benign, no problem, that still disappeared. The Lord is doing something right here, right now, in this particular broadcast. Receive that. What do you mean receive that? It's yours. Don't work on it. Don't try to get your head involved. Just respond. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I read it again. Abram came to experience a personal relationship to God rather than an impersonal relationship with his promises. Thus, in Exodus 4:9, the meaning is, if they do not believe in view of the two signs, rather than if they do not believe these two signs. The focus is on the act of believing, not on the trustworthiness of the signs. When God is the subject or the object of the verb, the Septuagint almost always renders this stem with believe and its composite. The only exception is in Proverbs 26:25, just simply meaning if God is the object of the subject, then what is said is not, it's secondary, the primary is him. And if the primary is him, you'll certainly walk in the secondary of what he said when he's the one that's real to you. Now remember, religion is really good at taking away tangibility, getting you to accept doctrine and theology and information and intelligence using your mind, mental assent, E.W. Kenyon called it, instead of real heart faith. Come on, this is about a relationship with God. You shouldn't be thinking about whether you have enough faith or not. You should be just enjoying the presence of Jesus every single day, letting the small nuances of God's grace and influence overwhelm you to realize he's in your life. He actually is doing something. The power of God is at work. Why would you worry when God and you have a relationship that's tight? Praise the Lord. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 14 to 20. We've already given you a great story, so we've got another few moments. It says, at the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. Wait. Stop, time out. Bottom of the mountain. Do you know what came before this? It was the Mount of Transfiguration. That's where Jesus took his three little buddies, amen. Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain and began to pray. And it says, as he prayed, glory came out of him, streaming light came out of him, lightning came out of him, went through his clothes, and caused him to be so bright you couldn't even look for the glare. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you are. When you see that picture, that's a Christian filled with the glory of God. And as we do anything that works with or engages your spirit, the response is the glory of God begins to manifest. While I'm talking right here, right now, I'm telling you all over again, I'm going to say it again. I don't care what kind of tumor was in your body. Jesus himself just removed it. Glory is manifesting. And I wanted you to see that it was the time where Jesus was in the presence of his Father and the glory came out of him. This is our duty on the earth. This is the joy of our duty. We're being asked to do something that should be the most fun thing and the most exciting thing you could do all day. You would say something like, you know, this job I have really isn't a job because it's what I want to do. My daughter does 3D modeling. My oldest daughter, what a joy she is. She's super good at it. But you know, going to work in that type of environment, even though you work really hard, she's doing things with her creative ability that's so fun. Putting out products that are so fun. Making toys with her 3D modeling. You know, it's almost at you could say, it's kind of not like you get a job and more getting paid for doing what you want to. Hanging out with Jesus is all that we're actually required to do, folks. As you hang out with him, you're hanging out with every answer to any problem that you've ever conceived you could have. We're becoming, what, aware of his tangibility, which is to have great confidence in him. Why? Because everyone in the Bible, in that chapter of faith, the whole chapter of faith lights up this whole point. The people in the chapter of faith weren't putting first what God said. They were putting first their experience with God. And that's why everything he said was enacted with such bold faith, because of their belief in God himself. So he's coming to the bottom of the mountain after he just got through spending time where the glory of God came through his clothes. In other words, Jesus' time in the mountain was the normal way that he spent time alone with his Father. It says, as they approached, a man came out of the crowd, fell to his knees, begging, "Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently he is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him." Jesus said, "What a generation. No sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? I might have to stop right here, but I want you to see that. What a generation." He's marveling over how they continue to allow what's going on in the world to become the value of their heart. What moves them? What is moving you today? He said, no sense of God, no focus to your lives. Think about that. If they're not sensing God, it's because they're sensing something else. If they're not focused on God, what are they focused on? And then he says, how many times do I have to go over this? Just showing you that, listen, the world's stranglehold on society and even the church to hold us in this holding pattern of the fleshly world, the world and the flesh, that holds us in bondage to everything that it speaks to us through any circumstance of life. This is something that you must contend for the faith. In other words, your experience with God is what will minimalize your experience with the world. And folks, I just want to say this. It's not just having an experience with the knowledge of Scripture. It's having an experience with the guy that wrote the Scripture. So that secondarily, everything that's said in the Scripture then comes back to primarily, which is your relationship with God. I'm going to stop right here. Wow, this is really good. We're going to have to go a couple more sessions in this. I didn't think it would take this long, but it is. Oh, man, get people to get into this. Tell them about YouTube channel Adventures in Grace and hit subscribe. Let us know that you're watching. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. By all means, go to our website, jimhockaday.com. And lastly, but also importantly, jhmi@jimhockaday.com is our email. Send us your grace stories. Bless you guys.